All right, there we go. So we've went through the first three parts of this series, and this is a unique way of preaching for me because I am a strong expositional through the Bible, taking one book at a time. And so it's been kind of weird for me to teach a topical study to try to cast the vision for Why Plant a Church. My heart has been, I really want us to be assured of what we're doing, to make sure that we have the same vision, that we're all on the same page. You know, there's a lot of reasons people plant a church. Some are good, some aren't maybe as good. And so my goal is to make sure that we have a biblical backing of why we are doing what we're doing. And today, I think, is probably, should have probably been part one in this series, to be honest. It is the most important reason why we should plant a church, and that is to glorify God. There is nothing more important in our life than to glorify God. Can anybody think of anything more important than that? I don't think we can. So we've discussed, we've been trying to figure out why we're doing what we're doing as we've been talking. And as we've been discussing this, there's a lot of risks involved in doing this, right? We've continued along anyway, and the question is why? Well, the reason is really, really well situated here in the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to give glory, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Is there a better statement than that? The Scriptures are very clear about something. This world, our lives, everything that we do, everything that we don't do, everything, it all is to glorify God. There you go, buddy. Can you get through? Sorry. everything is for Him, and all is for His glory. There's something we actually need to make really clear for ourselves, and I need to make clear for myself too. As we think about some of the reasons, we've talked about great reasons we are planting a church. And some of those are to have a great community of believers together, to be doing life together. Some of these reasons have been to reach the lost. I mean, that's definitely one of the top reasons that we're doing this. But the chief end, the purpose, isn't to make a country club where we feel comfortable, isn't to make a place where we go and have great snacks. It isn't to do all those things. It's to bring glory to God. So the question is, we can do a lot of things right. We can do a lot of things well. We can make people feel welcome. We can make them feel like they were hospitable. We can give them a lot of peace when they're here. We can do a lot of things. We can even share the gospel, but it not necessarily be to the glory of God. It can be the glory of us. And that doesn't bring God glory either. And we're trying to put notches in our belt for how many people we've shared the gospel with. So my main thrust today that I really want us to pray about is, how can we glorify God as we plant a church? So let's go ahead and get into prayer and get started into this. Lord God, we praise You, we thank You that You are worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. We thank You that we are not. We thank You that that we are just mere worms, that we are dust, that we are a vapor that is here for a little while and then gone. But God, You are eternal, You are forever, You are transcendent, You are perfect, You are a creator, You are holy, God, and You are worthy of all glory. So God, I pray that as we study some scriptures today about how worthy of glory that You are, that You help us to focus on that. You help us to calibrate our hearts and our lives, and most of all, even calibrate our church as we gather together to all be united around one theme and one theme alone, and that is to make much of You and less of us. So our first point that we're going to get into, so we're going to talk about three ways we can glorify God. And the first way we can glorify God is by our faith. We can glorify God by our faith. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Romans 4. If not, there it's going to be up here as well. And Romans 4, 19 through 20 says the following. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. Most of us will know who this is talking about. Now, I didn't actually come right out and say it in this little section I've given you, but this is about Abraham, right? And most of us probably know the context. Most of us probably know the story of Abraham, but I'm going to kind of catch us all up to speed to make sure we're all on the same page. So obviously, Abraham gets called by God to leave his land in the land of Ur, of the Chaldees, and he's told to go where God wants him to go. There's a promised land for his future descendants. He's going to multiply his descendants. And there's only one catch. Abraham is 75 at the time, and his wife is 65. And he's thinking, wow, you know, it's not really likely that I'm going to have kids. Me and Sarah, not really, really likely this is going to be able to happen. But it actually, it was pretty bad at that point. But then it becomes outlandish when he gets that promise a couple more times, last time being he's 100 and she's 90. So it got even more outlandish at that point where it's like, how is this going to happen? How are we going to be able to do that? And so when we kind of look forward, did he go completely right? Did he do everything completely right? No. Obviously, there were some bumps along the road. If you know the story, you see he kind of messes up. They mess up with Hagar and with the son Ishmael. But yet, Abraham continued to walk. He continued to walk in faith. And that faith glorified God. So God was glorified by Abraham's faith. He's 100. Sarah is 90 years old. There's no earthly way that this is actually going to happen. There's no earthly way. The only way is through a miraculous working of the Holy Spirit, the miraculous working of God to be able to make this happen, to be able to take a barren womb and make her be able to bear a child. So verse 20 is very clear. It says, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So you may wonder, you know, I know that story. It's great. It's a great account in the Bible. It's awesome to see God work. This is really, really cool to see. But how does that compare to planting a church? Like, I'm not putting the two pieces together. Well, when most people look at today's society, and again, I will say this isn't an apple-for-apple comparison, but most people look at today's society, we see COVID, right? Everybody has masks on. So that's a new thing, obviously, over the last year. Everybody has to wear masks. So that kind of hinders. We have social distancing. Everybody wants to stay away from each other, right? We see a nation that becomes more and more divided politically, socially, through all kinds of ways. We see churches, frankly, they're closing their doors left and right. You see churches closing down all over the nation. So a lot of people would look at us and say, you're crazy. What are you doing planting a church in this atmosphere where we're at? Yeah, brothers and sisters, this step of faith brings God glory. You know, whether we are incredibly successful or the world may say we're failures, you know, we're bringing God glory. Abraham brought God glory because he took steps of faith. He brought God glory because he took steps of faith. You know what? Like the outcome, the fact that he had a son with Sarah, you know, that's great. But God got so much glory from Abraham doing it beforehand, from taking that step. I'm sure all of you all are aware, or most of you are aware of the Jordan River crossing. What did he require the priests to do before the river split and Joshua and them could go across? They had to take a step. They had to put their step in there. And so right now, it shows that we value God, we value His church, we value His Word. We want to make sure His Word goes out. We want to make sure that believers hear the gospel. As Pastor Kenny talked about this morning, there's a lot of people that are going to end up in the lake of fire. And you know, our job, our commission is to go out and tell them about the gospel. And God has chosen the church to be part of that fulfillment of the Great Commission, you know, as we talked about last week. So our job is to take a step of faith, and we can glorify God through our faith. We can also glorify God by our worship. We can glorify God by our worship. Revelation 4, 8 through 11. So if we look at this, and the four living creatures, each of them had with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne. Here, let me actually hit that over so y'all can read that too. Sorry. And worship Him forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. Well, I'm sure most of us know we are coming to the end of the book of Revelation. It's been a little while since Pastor Kenny's preached this one. Been a few months ago. And at the end here, we're seeing how wonderful this book is. And this was a great excerpt, if we really look at this book, about the worship of God. We're seeing the throne room of God here. We're given a glimpse. There's flashes of lightning. There's peals of thunder. If we look in the context here, there's just an incredible beauty scene, just power. And then we see these four living creatures. that are just continually worshiping God. And we see the 24 elders that are continually worshiping God. And they glorify God because of his awesome wonder. And he's worthy of the praise he receives. So the question is, what is worship? I could do a really long sermon on what worship is. If we look at Scripture and we look at just life, what it is. We normally think of it as what we just did a little while ago. Singing to the Lord. We think of that being worship. So what is worship? A lot of people say, oh yeah, it's singing, praise, and worship. That's what we call it, praise and worship. But that's not necessarily biblical to define it in that small of a term. We can actually worship God in all kinds of ways. The actual word worship, before we get into those, comes from an actually old Saxon English word, which means worthiness. So God is worthy of our worship. The only thing that's worthy is what we worship. And God is the only one worthy of our worship. But we can actually worship Him and glorify Him through a lot of other ways. We can do through thanksgiving, through prayer. We can worship God through that. Actually, we can even worship God in service to others, you know, doing things for others to glorify Him, as well as praising Him, singing. There's a lot of ways. We can worship Him also anywhere. A lot of times people are like, well, I go to church to worship God. We can worship God anywhere. We can worship God in our playrooms, right, kids? We can worship God anywhere. And there's been some very precarious situations that people have worshiped God. Let's think about Paul. Prisons, right? We've seen people worship God on the gallows. We've seen people worship God as they get ready to be burned alive. We've seen that. We've seen people worship God during war, right in the middle of battles. There's always a time where we can worship God, and we should actually be continually worshiping God with our lives. Our lives are to be a spiritual act of worship, right? The concept of worship, though, is often misunderstood. It's usually not understood in its truest sense. We think of worship is something that we offer up to God. And I think even me myself, like as I really think about it, sometimes I even err on that side. You know, like I'm going to lift up worship to God. And that's not entirely accurate as far as we're supposed to look at worship, biblically speaking. If we really look at it, worship is primarily concerned with what the Lord God has done and who He is, and not primarily concerned with what we bring to Him. You get that? Like, I know that seems kind of weird, but a lot of times we think we're doing God a favor. We're going to sing to the Lord and play guitar. We're going to, you know, do some motions to some Bible school songs, and we're going to worship God, and we're bringing God something that He needs, right? We're bringing God. That's not true. God doesn't need anything like that. God is all sufficient. He is perfect. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our worship. Our worship is looking at what He has done and glorifying Him through it. So when we sing to Him, when we serve others to bring glory to Him, to worship Him, when we pray and we're in thanksgiving to Him and worship Him, try not to look at it as, I'm bringing this to you, God. But look at it from, because of you, this is my response. Because I'm just so overwhelmed. It needs to be primarily concerned with how big He is, not how big you are. Sometimes we like to think to lift ourselves up in order to worship Him. And that can be a very, very tempting thing for us, I think, a lot of times when we worship. So anytime we're singing, let's be primarily concerned with how great He is. So many praise and worship songs, contemporary worship songs, struggle with this concept. And that, you know, we've really tried to pick God-honoring songs when we sing. We really want to be very intentional with what we pick to sing. Because most songs you listen to today are focused on human need, you know, human wants and desires, and focused on what God can do for us. Let's just be honest. A lot of times that's how songs are written. It's about how hard my life is, how I need this. And even on a lot of the Christian radio stations, we hear a lot of songs, and we identify with them because life can be hard. You know, and those songs have their place at times. But they're not necessarily worship songs. Worship songs magnify the glory of Christ. They make much of Him. They don't focus on what we need. They don't focus on, because He's all we need. So if we focus on Him, everything else falls into place. So let's make sure when we do that, we don't look at, this is what I have brought for you. No, it's, wow, out of reverence for you, I'm just going to lift up my voice because I'm unworthy to even be in your presence. That has to be where we're at. So we've talked about two things. So we can worship God this last one, we talked about how we can worship him through our worship. First time we talked about how we can worship him through our faith. And now we are going to talk about a difficult area here, so I want to make sure we take this right, but we can glorify God by our work. We can glorify God by our work. Now, this could be a very dangerous point of a sermon. Sometimes, as conservative evangelicals, work can become an idol. You know, we're church planning, we're doing work for the Lord. How great are we, right? You know, like, you know, we can kind of look what I did for you. Almost like the worship thing we were talking about. We can really be led astray into this works-based salvation, works-based favor with the Lord. Even if you're saying, oh, well, I'm saved by grace, I know through faith, it's not by my works. But you live your life like you're saved by your works, not by grace through faith. And so we really, when I say we can glorify God by our work, we can glorify our God by our work, by how we do that. And I've got 3 points and 3 scriptures that I want us to kind of break down as we try to figure out how we can glorify God by our work. So, there it is. First and foremost, we must give God the credit for any work we do. We must give God the credit for any work we do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 spells that out. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything we do needs to bring glory to God. It's all about Him. It's not about us. And it's all for His glory and not for our glory. You know, we need to give Him credit, Him glory for anything that we do. Number two, we must realize that any good works we do were planned in advance by God. Ephesians 2:10 spells this out really well. A lot of times we look at Ephesians 2:8 through 9, right? For by grace we've been saved through faith. So no man can boast. And we kind of get to verse 10 and we kind of stop there. But it says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You understand what that's saying? It's saying that God providentially, before the foundation of the world, not only has He signed, sealed, delivered you, obviously, He has given you salvation, but He also providentially created works for you to walk in. So when you have something that kind of comes your way, and you're able to walk in that good work and do something for the Lord, it's all because He providentially got that set up for you. You can't take glory for going and getting it. He already had it ready for you. And so none of that's for our glory. That work has to be still glorifying to God. And this next point, I think, will flesh this out maybe the best for us as we try to figure out how to glorify God through our works. Third, we must realize that anything we are able to do for the Lord is because He has gifted us. He has gifted us to be able to do it. And we see this in 1 Peter 4:10-11 really well. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've each received different gifts from the Spirit, and we've also been given different talents and abilities from the Lord as well. So let me kind of flesh this out. So let's say you're able to get up here and you're able to sing on the praise team for the Lord. All right, so that's a good thing, to sing to the Lord. That's good. But the only reason you can sing is because of what? God gave you your voice. He has provided that talent and that ability. Let's say you're making baked goods for a charity. Yeah, that's great. You know, helping maybe a homeless shelter or underprivileged children. Well, you're only able to do that because God gave you the gift of baking. He's given you a brain that works that way. Mine doesn't. I can't bake anything. A lot of times I don't do a really good job on things that should be easy. Maybe you are an administrator for a not-for-profit. Maybe you're really good at numbers and you're a great accountant. Maybe you're really good at just getting things set up. Well, you can't take glory for that. You've been given the spiritual gift of administration. God's given you that ability. Let's say you give a significant sum of money to a church or to a missions organization or something like that. Well, how can you do that? Well, it's only because God's given you those funds. Frankly, they're all His funds anyway, honestly. If we look at Scripture, they're given for you to manage. So who are we to boast in our works? God has providentially gifted each one of us with certain talents, certain treasures, certain abilities, blessings, And why did he give them to us? To glorify him and to serve the church. Like, those are really the two reasons we have any gifts, are to glorify him, to serve the church, to serve his people and others. So as we kind of come to a close here, we're going to have a little discussion here in a minute. But I want us to really kind of rehash these three concepts. So we can glorify God by our faith in him, by our worship, and by our works. The way we glorify God is realizing that each one of these blessings, each one of these things, is a gift from him, not of our own abilities. And we are to worship him not because he needs our worship. We don't worship him because he's sad if we don't. We don't worship him because we have something great to offer. We worship him because of the abounding goodness of our Heavenly Father. He is worthy of our worship. And all of our work is also done by his abilities that he's placed in us. So I have one phrase for us to close on before we pray. And I love this. So it's Soli Deo Gloria in Latin. It means glory to God alone. And may we remember this phrase, glory to God alone, as we do anything unto the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing us out tonight. I thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. God, I thank you that you allow us to get faith, not because we're awesome. You even gift us our faith. Lord, I'm reminded of how many times people pray for faith in the Bible. God, we are insignificant. We are even weak when it comes to that, Lord. And I pray that you continue to increase our faith. Lord God, our worship is just in response to your goodness, your greatness, how great you are, Lord. Help us to be humble in our worship of you. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. And finally, God, help us to do works to glorify you, knowing that you are the one who has providentially gifted us to be able to do those, that you've providentially prepared them beforehand as well, Lord. And God, I pray that you bless our discussion tonight, that you bless us as we move forward through this church plant, and may you and you alone be given all glory and honor and praise. We love you, God. Amen.